Okay, Robert, you ready to do this thing?
As ready as I'm going to be.
All right. A whole week has gone by. It's time to do the place-by-place fishing report again, featuring, of course, myself, Captain Josh the Fish Coach, and the man with all the information, Mr. Robert Lukowitz, the longtime manager here at Fish and Frank's Bait and Tackle, deep in the heart of Port Charlotte.
Only some of the information.
Well, the information that's going to be given out here, because I got nothing.
I don't have a whole lot either.
But you're going to have more than I have. I haven't talked to anybody. I've been buried shoulders deep in a project that I've been very, very focused on. And it's kept me from thinking about fishing, really, let alone doing any. So the man with the info is going to be you today, my friend.
Okay.
So this fishing report brought to you by Robert Lukowitz at Fish and Frank's, and it begins with the Peace River and Harbor Heights upriver along with Shell Creek. Robert, what do you know? What do you got? What can you tell us?
Not a whole lot. I've started pushing some fish around with all the rain.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, they're catching a few Mayan cichlids, a few mangrove snapper, and people are seeing a lot of juvenile tarpon rolling.
Okay.
And then other people are getting very confused by the gar also.
Why are they confused?
Because they think they're tarpon.
Ah, yes.
You know, but as far as catching fish goes, pretty quiet up there.
And would you suggest trying to catch the gar?
If they want to.
And how would you go about catching a gar?
A piece of cut bait under a bobber about 6 inches.
Yeah?
Yep.
They like it.
Mm-hmm.
They'll go for it.
Yep. Just a little piece of cut bait. Doesn't have to be much.
Right?
Yep. Just getting the hook out of them is a little tricky.
Getting the hook into them is a little tricky.
Mm-hmm. That too.
But they're there.
Mm-hmm.
And they can be a lot of fun.
Yes.
And if you're having a hard time finding fish for the table, look up a video of how to clean and cook a gar. You might be surprised at what you learn. They are quite edible.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on anyway, the Darce Park boat ramp.
Redneck lobster?
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Redneck halibut?
Mm-hmm.
Darce Park boat ramp, I-75 bridges area.
Nothing.
No reports. The US 41 bridges.
Some mangrove snapper. A couple of big black drum. A handful of cobia, but mostly shorts. And a couple of baby bull sharks.
Okay. So, would you say overall it's worth fishing down here, or not so much?
There's just too many people fishing off of it.
Gotcha.
You know, and with a boat, you know, people are sitting there because it's shady. You know, trying to stay out of the sun a little bit, and then too many people up on top of the bridge standing there because there's no other places to fish. Thank you very much, Charlotte County.
Boo, Charlotte County.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some fish down here.
Yes.
Okay. No whiting this week?
Haven't heard much. Okay. I mean, with all that rain this past week, it changed things up just a little tiny bit. That first day, it made it really dark because it all washed off the land and right into the water.
Yep.
The second day, it actually started soaking in a little bit better and did some good. But water's just starting to clear up behind my house now.
Yeah, and it was a pretty good rain. I mean, we had about 6 inches over the course of that couple days.
Yep.
So it didn't quite take us out of the drought.
Nope.
But right now, we're under that African dust cloud, which once that blows away, then they're forecasting us to get back into the rain again.
Normal so, summertime rain.
Pretty much. So, and I think once it happens, it's the dust right now that's causing the pause in that rain. Otherwise, I think we'd be there. So I think once that dust blows away, then all of a sudden it's going to be boom, rainy season. Just like right there. And people are going to be like, where'd this come from? It's like, well, it was supposed to happen already, but the dust. So that's my prediction anyway, which is as good as any other weather prediction you're going to get.
Okay.
At least as accurate.
Yeah.
Let's go to the Lashley Seawall. What do we know?
Nothing.
That's what I was afraid of. We'd talk about the Bayshore and Port Charlotte Beach Piers, but they're not there. Thank you, Charlotte County. Spring Lake Park.
Some mangrove snapper. Lots of catfish. That's it.
Catfish.
Both sailcats and hardheads. Some people like to eat one over the other.
Who likes hardheads?
I've had several customers over the years.
Well, okay.
It's an opinion.
That's perfectly fine. I'm not going to argue with anybody about it.
Mm-mm.
The Port Charlotte salt and brackish canals.
A lot of little snook. Mangrove snapper. Black drum. After that rain, several people saw some juvenile tarpon rolling all over the place.
Are these black drum schooling or ones and twos?
Mostly ones and twos. There's a couple schools cruising around from one canal to the next, so they're not in one particular area over another.
Okay. And
then there's been a couple bull sharks in there, too.
Bull sharks. Up to?
Bigger than I would think.
What are we talking? 5-6 footers?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I personally caught 2 of them. That one was surprisingly big.
Sounds like fun. What'd they eat?
Catfish.
Catfish. Now, did they have a preference of hardheads versus sailcats?
Yeah. Hardheads.
Mm-hmm.
Hardheads have always worked better than sailcats for bait, even though I've watched bull sharks eat sailcats that we've been fighting out there reeling in during tarpon season.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But, no, hardhead definitely is more preferred.
Gotcha. Okay. Brings us to the El Jabin Bridge.
Oh, they've been getting snook up there.
Small ones, little ones, big ones, giant ones, peanuts?
Mostly peewees. Small. Mostly small stuff. Lots of mangrove snapper. A couple of short cobia. A couple of baby bull sharks, even a couple bigger bull sharks. And that's it.
Okay, did you say these cobia are small?
Yeah, I haven't heard of a legal one over there yet. I'm sure they're catching them, but I just haven't heard of any yet.
Okay. And smaller bull sharks.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say black drum?
I haven't heard of any black drum.
Okay. Wasn't sure if I just forgot to type it because I was typing too many other things.
Right.
Nope. Did you say tarpon?
Nope.
Okay.
I mean, some kid posted a picture of them with doubles over there the other day, but I have not heard of any.
Did you say coelacanth?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just making sure what I missed.
No.
That's all I'm doing.
An oarfish.
The Myakka River area for the bridge down to Marker 8.
What's that one that looks like tinfoil, that ribbon fish?
The cutlass fish?
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Atlantic cutlass fish.
And then the other one with the big teeth is a lancefish, right?
Is it lance or lancet?
Yeah, either way.
I have to look it up and remember.
Pretty cool fish.
Well, there's a lot of very cool fish out there. Would you like to take a break from the report and talk about them?
Nope.
Okay.
We got stuff to do out there on the floor.
That's why I'm asking. Cause
you brought up coelacanth, so I'm just throwing it out there now.
The Myakka River area.
Give people something else to look up when they're bored listening to you and I talking.
Down to Marker 8.
Nothing.
Jackets. South Gulf Cove canals.
Same thing.
No reports. The West Wall.
Oh, redfish. Redfish under the bushes and in the mouths of the creeks. They're taking shrimp. Cut ladyfish, cut mullet. And a couple guys did catch them on some artificials, throwing paddle tails and spoons. And then okay. Some of the pleasant bycatch has been a lot of small snook. And that's it. I got nothing on top of the bar, nothing around it, just those two.
Okay. Okay. Anybody mention what the grass situation looks like over there?
No.
I haven't been over to look. Next time you talk to somebody about the West Wall, try to remember that. I'd just like to hear what it looks like over there.
Majority of them don't know what it looks like.
They're crossing it to get to the trees.
Mm-hmm.
They gotta look.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
But they see that rolling moss and they think that's grass.
All right. Well, next time you talk to one who knows what they're looking at.
Okay.
Just ask for me, please.
Sure.
That's all I'm asking. Cape Hayes Bar.
Or you should just launch your boat and go take a look yourself.
I just told you. Shoulders deep.
Mm-hmm. Any excuse will do.
Cape Hayes Bar.
Nothing.
Turtle and bull bays.
A lot of short trout. Handful of redfish. And then there are snook in there, but they are moving around a lot.
Okay. And what areas would you be looking for them? Would you be looking for them?
All along the bushes.
Not so much on the oyster bars?
Nope. Most of what I've been hearing about is all bushes. The snook have been mostly on the front sides of, you know, like in front of bull, turtle, Gallagher's Cut, you know, over on the Whidden Creek side.
Okay. I can work with that. Whoops. No.
That's don't delete better. That.
Well, no, I mistyped redfish, and I went to correct it, and I corrected it to radish instead. So nice. Somebody's going to be very confused about trying to go out there and catch radishes.
Mm-hmm.
The south, no, not that at all. Cape Hayes Reef and Danger Reef.
Nothing.
Gasparilla Sound.
Well, in that 5 to 8 feet of water, they're getting some trout and some Spanish mackerel. Along with an oddball ladyfish and shark.
Okay.
And then redfish and a lot of miscellaneous snook all on the shorelines.
Miscellaneous snook?
Nothing of, like, big size. How's that? Miscellaneous sizes.
Okay.
Most of them are on the small side.
Can I spell miscellaneous, though?
I don't know.
Turns out I can.
There you go.
Okay. Trout, Spanish mackerel, ladyfish, small sharks, redfish, snook. Anything else over here?
Nope.
I mean, that's a fair amount of stuff anyway.
It is.
So, do we need bait for the trout and Spanish, or are they still responding well to artificials?
They're responding well to artificials.
All right. Just checking.
Yeah.
The Placida area to include the Trestle, the Coral Creek Pier, and Gasparilla Pass.
Lots of mangrove snapper up against the Trestle. Even around some of the docks over there heading out through the pass. Been some oddball tarpon showing up throughout that area.
Okay, big ones?
Yeah. Few sharks, assorted sizes, and that's it.
Okay.
Too many sharks. People hanging out on the sandbars. That's what one guy told me. He's like, I'm over it. He goes by there to go from one spot to the next, but will not fish in that area anymore.
Okay.
And the amount of beer cans and other crap that he saw after that Labor Day weekend, he was not happy at all.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, you know why, though, right?
Because people are lazy slobs and they're terrible.
Yeah. We knew that. Mm-hmm. This is no surprise.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose it's disheartening to actually see it, but...
Yeah.
But no surprise.
I just think it's funny. Everyone will run drone footage of all the boats that are there before, but they won't run a drone over it afterwards.
Right.
I have yet to see that. That's your job next year.
Okay, be more clear on what my job is. I'm going to run a drone over it afterwards to...
After the boats have left so you can see all the crap on the bottom. Okay. I almost slipped there.
I think it's okay on this one.
I know
there's
it is.
There's no FCC involved with that.
I know it is, but I'm still trying to be careful.
You could have done what my aunt taught her kids to say and said, shoo, shoo.
Yeah, no. Nope.
No? So you want me to fly the drone and see all the shoo, shoo that they leave behind after the fact?
Yeah.
Okay.
Think that would be a good idea.
All right.
Because that should be part of their job as promoters and sponsors of that thing to have to go in and do a cleanup afterwards.
So, I'm going
They're profiting from it and being on the water and creating the problem. They should be responsible for going in there to clean up afterwards.
Okay. So, what you want me to do then is you want me to shame them into doing that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why not?
I'm just trying to make clear what the...
I mean, they've got a floating garbage can that they're out there with. They can throw all their beer cans and garbage into their boat and take it with them. But a lot of them choose... Well, some of them choose not to.
Well, you don't want to throw it in the boat. That'll get the boat all messy, Robert.
Uh-huh.
Plus, the drunker they get, the less they care. Plus, they're floating away from the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Out there on their little raft.
Yeah.
Their little...
But I'd be curious to see what it looks like out there.
Floaty that they've got. Okay.
You can have fun with it.
Do me a favor, okay, because it's like a year away. Remind me when we get there.
Okay, about 333 days from now.
Yes, set a notification on your phone.
Okay.
What's your Apple thing's name when you talk to it? It's... No, I can't.
I can't say that either.
Either. Never mind.
No.
Okay.
FCC or not, just not appropriate.
Let's just move on, okay?
Carry on.
Lemon Bay, Stump Pass, Milton Pass, Lemon Bay Park, Indian Mound Park, places like that. What do you got for Lemon Bay, Robert?
I got nothing.
You got nothing. Yep. The Anger Pier isn't there, so we won't talk about that either.
Mm-hmm.
That takes us out to the Gulf. Let's see what we've got for some bottom fishing and maybe some pelagic species going on there. Robert?
Spanish mackerel from just basically the passes out to about 15 miles. Barracuda are moving on to a lot of the reefs out there, both from 5 miles out to 30 miles.
That's good. I like it when they show up.
There's been some schools of bait fish out there that are from small thread fins to bigger thread fins to even some Spanish sardines. A couple guys actually caught on sabikis out there trying to go off for red snapper.
That's fun. How far out are they?
The red snapper?
No, the Spanish sardines.
Oh, they were getting them out there by the school bus reef.
Okay.
So what is that, 58 feet, 60 feet of water?
Yeah.
About 12 to 15 miles out.
Yeah, I would like to have some fresh Spanish sardines, actually.
Yep, that's what they looked like in that picture, and that's what he said they were. So yeah.
Just make sure, if you're going out there to catch your own sardines, don't mistake the little jacks, the hardtails, for, you know, you don't want to eat a Speedo.
Why not?
You won't enjoy it. But the Spanish sardines are delicious, especially fresh. You know, if you only ever had canned sardines, fresh sardines are really a treat.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
You're giving me that face.
It's weird.
It's the same face that people make when I tell them that barracuda are good or that sail cats are good. It's that same. Why would you ever eat cat food look that I'm used to seeing on everybody else, and now I'm getting it from you too? That's fine.
It's a sardine.
Fine. Yeah. That's correct.
If you enjoy it, go for it.
It's good.
Okay.
It's much better than the scad are. The scad are not good. Don't eat scad. Unless you like eating blue runners, in which case go ahead and eat the scad, because they taste about the same. Were we talking about red snapper?
Yep.
Okay. How far out were they?
160 feet to 200 feet is where I'm getting the best reports. One gentleman got his personal best of 33 inches. That's deep. Then I've seen several pictures of fish that were in the 18 to 20 pound range. And several people that stayed at 140 to 150 were catching like 2 to 4 pounders.
That's not very big.
Nope.
And your bag limit's 2.
Yep. I just want to know how many burned up that they just threw back because they didn't think it was big enough. Wanted to try to upgrade, but didn't want to go any deeper.
Yeah. A lot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of people will just put them in the cooler and then throw them back out of the cooler because, you know, I mean, it's not right, but we're just doing it this once, you know. Mm-hmm. We're not coming out here very often. We don't do this very often, so it's not going to hurt anything if we just do it this one time. So
it'll never hurt anything.
Yeah. But, you know, when that becomes a common attitude and everybody thinks like that, then it causes some real problems.
Yep. Red grouper in 100 feet to 150 feet. Then mangrove snapper. They're starting to separate out there, too, by the way. The lane snapper and the mangroves and all that. There was a guy that was fishing down there by the school bus reef. And the one corner had all lane snapper. The main debris pile that's in the center was all mangs.
Nice.
And a couple of porgies mixed in. And that was the only guy that told me about it. But several guys have been seeing, like, blotches on the reefs and not catching anything but seeing what appears to be schools of bigger fish.
Mm-hmm.
So, and several of them thought that they were red snapper, but they were literally in 70 feet of water.
Yeah. So they're not red snapper.
And the guy was talking about his all the African pompano that he was catching, and then after discussing it with him, one, he was on the Bay Oronto. Two,
okay.
It was 22 inches and a 24 incher.
Okay.
And I said, okay, that's usually about what you'll catch out there. If you catch one, it's not common but not unheard of, but to find a legal one is pretty unusual out there. That's pretty shallow water. He's like, well, I catch them out there every time I go out there. How often do you go out there? Well, 3 times a year, 4 times a year. I'm like, okay, well, then you're doing better than most because most people go out 3 or 4 times a year, still never catch one.
Yeah, at the Bay Ronto.
You know, then he said he got freight trained by a couple of fish that he never saw, so.
Okay. And he had pictures?
Yeah, the one African bomb, the one that he had a picture of was definitely too short. It was probably 20 inch or maybe.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Well, and that's the couple that were in here on the other side of the counter, they fish offshore all the time. As a matter of fact, at one point she had what record was it? It was a female line class record from like the 70s. Oh, what the hell was it? I can't remember now. She comes in here all the time, her and her husband, but they always fish like 150 to 250 feet of water. But they were listening to him, and she was starting to call the BS card. It was kind of funny.
Yeah.
Little 70-year-old woman calling up BS. It's like, all right, I like it.
All right. Let's switch up here a little bit to the Venice jetties and the Venice pier.
Spanish mackerel. They've caught in a couple snook there at night. Some whiting during the day and even a few at night. I did catch a big, according to several people, bull red off of there. You know. What else? That's it. I've not heard of much else.
Okay. Moving down to the passes. Punta Rasa.
Nothing.
Redfish Pass.
Snook.
Oh, wait. You had a report.
Yep.
I was skimming right past it. I was on my way.
Bunch of snook all around through there right now. Okay. And this full moon is one of their big spawns for the year, too. So what is that, a few days away?
It's just a few days away. Okay. Captiva Pass.
Same thing, some snook, some Spanish mackerel. catching a few trout on the inside there in that 6 to 8 feet of water.
Okay.
And they're seeing a few tarpon roll here and there through that area, through the pass and the immediate proper along the beach right there and on the inside.
Okay. Wonderful. That brings us to Boca Grand Pass.
Well, snook. Right along the edge of the surf line. There are some mangrove snapper in there, but the problem is you got to fight all the tarpon guys. And there is a lot of tarpon in there. Because this is their major big spawn also. Mm-hmm. The majority of them will be their last spawn. So all things right. will ramp up pretty good here.
So we've got tarpon in here. They're still feeding on crabs?
Yeah. Almost exclusively on crabs still. One guy did hook one on a squirrelfish on the hill right before these storms came through. But that was it. Okay. One jump and it was gone.
Now for the spawn,
mm-hmm.
What's going to happen?
They're going to feed real heavy on crabs for a couple days in a row. And then right after that, you'll have some of those fish will branch apart and move out onto the beaches and up into the harbor a little bit. So you'll start to see things breaking loose a little bit more. And then they'll start to switch over their feeding habits a little bit more, where they'll still feed on crabs pretty heavily. Especially in the lower part of the harbor and out on the beaches, but they'll also start turning on to thread fins, squirrelfish and pinfish. And then, of course, any of your bigger swim baits, like your DOA Bait Buster and a couple other brands of swim baits.
So the next time we talk about tarpon,
it'll have changed probably quite a bit.
Okay. Let's talk about the surf fishing.
Okay.
Anywhere and everywhere.
Well, basically from Venice up to Blind Pass Park, about the only two places. And someone was just in here and she said Caspersons is closed right now.
Okay.
So there is no beach fishing there. Whiting, a few trout. Several bonnet heads, especially some baby bonnet heads, like 12 to 15 inch baby bonnet heads. A lot of snook cruising the surf. And that's about it.
Are the snook hitting during the day?
Not very much. If you can cast net yourself some small white bait or little finger whiting, they'll eat that. But they are not cooperating very well. You want to catch a snook out at the beach, mostly going to be in the early mornings when the sun's right below the tree line.
Yep.
Or go out there during the dark.
Yep. Okay. Brings us to Matt Lachey, Indian Field, Smokehouse Bay.
Got nothing.
Okay, then Pine Island Sound.
Pine Island Sound, St. James City area. They're getting some trout and some Spanish mackerel right there from St. James all the way to the Sanibel Causeway, along with some tarpon and a few sharks.
All right, say that whole thing again, because I forgot how to spell James for some reason.
St. James City over to Sanibel. Okay. Catching some trout and Spanish mackerel. And then quite a few tarpon throughout that area and a few sharks.
Okay. Yeah.
No, not too bad.
That's not bad at all. All right, then Jug Creek Shoal and Boquilla.
Jug Creek Shoal. Let's see. I got nothing.
Oh, well then, okay. Burnt Store and Two Pines.
No.
You got nothing there, too?
No. I'm trying to remember because, no, he gave me Patricio, Giuseppe, and right around Cabbage Key. He was catching some big Spanish mackerel and a couple of trout. The trout were smaller, but the Spanish mackerel, he caught one that was 23 inches, and he was fishing underneath the schools of bait. Mm-hmm. Now, the Spanish were not blitzing on anything. They were just very lethargic and everything, mm-hmm. but they were, because they were all full of the bait, because every one that he caught would hack up the little pilchards and thread fins
yep.
mixed together. And he saw quite a few snook right there by those islands right there by the shacks. He didn't get any of them to cooperate, but saw a lot of snook.
Okay.
Same guy that fished down by St. James City. He had 3 days of fishing in that whole area on his kayak.
Gotcha. Okay, so we have added that to the Pine Island Sound Report,
mm-hmm.
and now we're at Burnt Store and Two Pines.
Some snook along the bushes and a few redfish, but I have no other real reports. Too many people have been chasing after the tarpon, and the rain kind of screwed things up, too.
Can't imagine. The East Side Keys and Pirate Harbor.
Bonnethead sharks up on top of the bar. Some juvenile tarpon scattered throughout there on top of the bar. A couple guys have seen some short cobia over there. And that's pretty much all I've gotten from over that way.
Okay. Did anybody catch a cobia?
No.
Okay. You believe them that they saw them?
Yeah.
Okay. Then that's good enough for me. Listen, when Robert believes a fishing report, I believe the fishing report.
Well, a couple okay? of these guys are very reputable because they're coming
all
the time.
That's what I'm saying. And that's what I mean. When Robert believes the report, I believe the report. Because Robert deals with the people who are giving these reports. There's one thing that Robert's really, really, really good at, okay? Among the list of things he's good at, and that's his BS detection. He is just solid on that. So when Robert questions it...
When it comes to fishing reports, yes.
I've learned to question it. And when Robert believes it, I've learned that it's probably pretty reliable. So. Brings us to Alligator Creek, Poacher's Cut, and the Skating Rink.
the mangrove
I'm
snapper.
Always very careful whenever I say this, and you know why.
Yeah.
Because like the first time we did this, I didn't say Poacher's Cut. I said Poacher's something else.
Yep.
So I'm always trying to enunciate and read it so that I actually get it correct.
Yes.
And so it makes me get it wrong, so I don't get it really, really wrong the other
yes.
way. Speaking of the FCC.
Yes. Just what we need.
So, yeah.
There's a lot of mangrove snapper in there, but they are making the mass exodus. There is fewer and fewer each day. And there's also quite a few small snook and some jacks in there.
Okay. So if you're fishing for the mangrove snapper, you'd be out towards the mouth?
Yeah.
Would you be fishing the outgoing tides as they're getting ready to ride them out? Or?
Yeah. I mean, there definitely is more fish as it's the outgoing tide because they're just leaving.
Yeah.
But they seem to be in there just... incoming, outgoing, but if I had my option to fish for them, yeah, mm-hmm. it would be the outgoing.
Okay. Brings us to Ponce de Leon Park.
Same thing. Mangrove snapper, a few black drum. What else? People are looking at a lot of snook, but not catching them. And then there was a small school of jacks that went through there the other day, and several people hooked them. But it was over and... as quick as it started.
Right. Jack kayaks have been in and out, mostly out. All right. That brings us to the PGI canals and general Punta Gorda area. What do you know?
They're getting a lot of little snook. The tarpon are moving around. The black drum are starting to definitely school over there in PGI. I've had several people catch them, and several people see like schools of 15 and 20 fish in groups. A lot of singles and triples. And then several small bull sharks and one big bull shark. I mean, it was tough to tell by the picture, but the guy says it was pretty close to 6 to 7 foot. And this is the same guy last year that actually had the picture with his neighbor, took it of him next to his boat, and it was a solid 6 or 7 footer. Okay. And after what I caught the other day, I'm kind of believing him.
Leaning towards believing it?
Well, the last, 2 years, 3 years, people have gotten some pretty big bull sharks up inside PGI that we've seen videos of and pictures of.
Yes.
So I'm inclined to believe them.
Now, these black drum, how would you be targeting those fish?
People are using some of our tarpon crabs. And we've got a bunch of frozen ones. Problem is they're kind of expensive. You know, they're $2 a piece. But that is what it is. And then they're also buying some of the live tarpon crabs and using them. And then the other way is just putting a jig out there on the bottom, bouncing it real slow with a lot of scent on it. You know, the Procure with crab... Procure crab scent works extremely well. Mm-hmm. And also, if you wanted to use some of the scented baits like the gulp or the, what's the other one? Seaman.
That's still just Procure.
Yeah, I know. But it's still a scented bait.
Yep.
An extremely scented bait, because there are quite a few other scented baits, including DOA, but gulp and Seaman seem to have hit the market pretty well.
Listen,
with that.
Listen, dude, a DOA out of the package smells strongly like plastic.
I know.
If you want it to smell like bait, you got to scent the crap out of that thing. But, you know, I do scent the crap out of those things.
I scent the crap out of all my baits.
Exactly. Why wouldn't you? Give it one more reason, you know? You watch something like, I mean, literally watch these black drums swimming up and looking at those soft plastics, getting up to it, looking at it, and just turning away. Same thing with the trout out there. When the water's clear enough, you literally watch them do that with an unscented bait. And so I learned, you gotta scent them. And when you scent them, not only do they swim up to it, look at it, and then eat it, but they hold on to it. You know? And yeah. That's one thing that people have a lot of difficulty with is when we fish these baits, a lot of times we're twitching them, and as they sink back down, that's when the fish grab them.
Yeah.
That's when it's hardest to feel the strike.
Yep.
So by the time you realize something's happened, he's already spit it out. So
yep.
You can literally watch people fishing and have them twitch that bait. It sinks back down. The fish grabs it, spits it back out, and they just keep twitching it along. They have no idea that they ever even had a strike.
Nope.
So scent the crap out of your baits and get those fish to hold on to them. It just makes sense.
Yes, yes it does.
That's all I have to say about that.
Good.
The Gilchrist Pier, which doesn't exist.
Gilchrist Pier.
Moves on to the Alligator Creek Reef.
Got nothing.
Yeah, I kind of suspected. The 20-foot holes.
There have been some short cobia out there, a couple legal cobia, a couple assorted bigger sharks, and that's it.
Okay. Are the tarpon going to be showing up here soon?
They should be. I mean, there's always a few scattered out there right now, but... not fishable numbers. But in the next 2 weeks, you should definitely see some better numbers up in that area.
Okay. Brings us to the bait fish reports.
Okay. Let's see. There's been some at marker 2 and marker 1. But the majority of your bigger bait is definitely down south towards Boquilla, Devilfish, Three Sisters, those areas. Guys are working really hard at it. The ones that are catching anything up on this end of the harbor are going out before dawn's crack. They're getting out there at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
Yeah. once that sun comes up, they're disappearing pretty quickly. Even the mouths of the canals right there in PGI, right there with Bass Inlet and Colony Point, 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, just as you're seeing the sky kind of lightening up, they're catching them there too. But once that sun comes up a little tiny bit and you start to get color, gone.
Okay, so we need to be there at literally first light.
Yeah.
Okay. The freshwater reports. Now, we said we needed rain, and we were hoping that we'd get some and that would improve things. Mm-hmm. Had a big old chunk of rain. Did it improve things?
It did a little bit, but not as much as I was expecting. They're getting the tilapia, Mayan cichlids, some bluegill, and a couple of crappie at some of the spillways and culverts with some very small bass. But I did not hear of any bigger bass lighting up, and it also happened to correlate with us getting in extremely tiny shiners.
Ah.
Like last week, I turned them away. John called me at the house to say how tiny they really were. This week, he told me they were tiny with some mixed in bigger ones, and I said, well, when you show up, if they're still that small, I'm going to turn them away. And John and Chris happened to be out front, and the guy just dumped them and walked in and said, hey, I've already dumped everything, ready to go, see you later, bye. And they are tiny. They are not much bigger than, they're basically the biggest crappie minnow you'd ever see.
I see.
The good news is I lowered the price down to below our cost.
Okay.
Just to at least recoup some of our money on them. They're $6 or $6.50 a dozen, something like that, instead of $13 a dozen.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, I gotta at least make some of our money back on
pretty
it.
Pretty expensive not, for crappie minnows, but we're not making, pretty good for shiners.
Well, we're not making any money on them. We're losing money, but I gotta recoup something.
Right.
Because I would have turned them away again. I mean, I'm not kidding you. There's like maybe a dozen normal size shiners in it. The rest of them are not much bigger than my pinky.
Hmm. And Robert does not have a particularly large pinky.
Nope.
So, well, it'll be what it'll be.
Yep.
The tarpon reports, then, is where we're standing. Now, the tarpon map we've been using for the last couple of weeks has got the best chance securely right in the middle of Boca Grande Pass. There's some possibility inside and outside the pass and also just at the pass to the south. Everything else is a less than 50%. Do we want to update that map, or are you good with what we've got?
I'm confident with what we got on that one.
Okay. So we're going
after this full moon, that'll probably change.
Literally just copy and paste the report from last week and make a note that after the full moon, things might be changing a lot. But for right now. Okay. Note made. Tarpon map closed. Okay. Well, that kind of brings us to the end of the fishing report. There's nothing left to type. Do you have any other words of wisdom or anything that you'd like to mention?
We're going to start getting into our rainy season. It's going to start getting humid out, so drink lots of fluid while you're out there fishing. I don't care what time of day or night it is.
So stay hydrated?
Yep.
Try not to die?
Yep. And leave your pet at home. Leave your dog at home.
But the dog really likes to go on the boat.
Uh-huh. Just saying.
If the dog really likes to go on the boat, take the dog like you take a little kid. We go out for a little ride, and that's it. And we're going back in. Then we're done. Okay. And that works out pretty well.
Sure.
But, yeah, to force the dog to be out there all day long is kind of mean.
Mm-hmm.
Even if the dog likes to be on the boat and likes to be near you, he's still suffering out there.
Right.
He's just putting up with it because he loves you so much because he's a dog, and we don't deserve dogs.
Yep.
True. All right. So that's it?
Yep.
You're done?
Yep.
You sure?
Yes.
100%.
100%.
All right. Well, then, say goodnight, Robert.
Goodnight, Robert.